This is The Bait Shop with Tom and Josh on St. Andrew's Radio. Live online at standrewsradio.com. St. Andrew's Radio.
Hello.
Hello there. Welcome to The Bait Shop. With myself, Thomas Archon.
And myself, Josh Taylor.
We've got an action-packed show for you today. All with all the trimmings. Yeah. It really is a quality. It's quality stuff.
We thought we'd build upon the success of last week and the podcast, which have received rave reviews.
A lot of people have said, we listened to the original radio show, but we wanted to hear it all again.
Exactly. In a similar way, but not exactly the same.
Sure. Slightly trimmed. And we said, we responded with, yeah, sure.
We're a giving radio
we'd
station.
We'd be delighted to. So, now, this... So, now, is this one... Do we know?
Well, hopefully we've got our good friend and avid listener, Charles Harrison.
He works behind the scenes. Yeah. A lot of the time.
As much of the part of the show as we are, really.
Well, his contributions on the Buzzbox have become so frequent, he almost feels like a third...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
Guy in the studio.
Yeah, it seems weird if he's not there, you know.
Making comments about your mother, you know.
Yeah. He has a general theme to his arguments.
Sure, often involving our parenthood and stuff.
And we feel he scares off a lot of our listenership.
A lot of maybe a lot of people who would buzz in because he sort of takes it over in terms of the
buzz. Maybe that's as hopeful on our behalf.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, maybe we're just hoping that really our fans are nicer
and don't want to say the hurtful things that they do.
Yeah,
and Charles does, but we still appreciate it. So yeah, we've got a review. We've got Cabin in the Woods, which I saw last night. We've got a review of Jason Mraz's new album.
Yeah.
From Josh, we've got some pet peeves. We have got a very... Me and Josh have been doing our own stand-up comedy this week.
Oh, we are a hoot.
We haven't gone live with it yet. We haven't done a set on stage, but we've been writing some stuff for The Bait Shop.
We've been somewhat inspired, haven't we?
Well, we spent a lot of our evening yesterday, you know, Friday night. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, go out, let's go, a couple of drinks, go hit the union. Why wouldn't you hit the union? But we decided to stay in and watch one-liner comedians. For hours and hours.
That's right. You make us sound cool.
Yeah, I will. I will do. You know, the likes of Tim Vine, Stuart Francis, Jimmy Carr. I mean,
Jimmy Carr was a bit rubbish.
Yeah, but I think they chose a bad clip. Okay. I mean, I think he's very funny otherwise. But yeah, we've got... So, on that kind of flavour, we've written our own.
We might put a few in there.
And we might reveal some later. What were some of the favourite ones of that we saw? What were some of the favourite ones that Tim Vine, etc.?
The best one, I thought, was when he held up a sign that had, like, B-N-A-G. And it's like, that's bang out of order.
Yeah, that was quite good. I like that. In my family, I'm the youngest of three. Both my parents are older.
Yeah, good one.
Quite a good one. Yeah, we won't bore you with theirs, because we've got our own... You might have heard them before,
higher material.
This is new material from The Bait Shop. Bait Shop is going to new, even funnier directions.
Yeah.
This show.
With actual comedy rather than...
Forced conversation between me and Josh. You're going to hear some written stuff.
Yeah.
I've even saved them on my BlackBerry. Note on my BlackBerry, yeah.
Wow.
This isn't the... I mean, we're not messing around.
We can tell them about our experience at Eye of the Dug as well.
Oh, yeah.
About going there, so we can save that for a section later on as well.
You will enjoy that, because it was an excellent festival. I mean, and where was the venue?
Exactly. It's
spooky almost that, oh, great venue. No, it's a great concert.
Great venue.
The Union.
Only venue one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell though. It looked like a festival tent and everything. It was fantastic.
It was really had it all. The festival atmosphere and great drink prices as well.
This is St. Andrew's Radio.
We thought we'd have our first one-liner of the show. That should be a jingle, be like, first one-liner, yeah.
Oh, come on, I've done pretty well getting these ones up.
Yeah, I know you have, I'm just saying.
Just piles
maybe
work on me.
A little bit harder. I was at a festival and saw a guy knock into a port loo. I stayed for a while just in case I could see the toilet roll.
we need candid laughter.
Yeah. That was Josh Taylor's.
Top notch.
In case anyone was offended.
Right.
I mean, I'll bring up my, stay listening for my A game, because I've got some one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
I've really written some stuff down. Speaking of festivals, what a segue. we went to Eye of the Dug, which was a music festival held by...
Fence Records.
Yeah, we had a good time, didn't we?
It was very good, yeah. We went to Venue One, which they'd kind of kitted out as a part tent, part...
Oh, it was the bee's knees.
It had, like, It had a beer bar. It had free whiskey being handed out in, like, cocktail form.
Nice,
had
nice.
Banners up everywhere.
Sure, sure.
Had, like, lanterns in the middle of the room, lining the middle.
Very, very atmospheric.
It was really good.
Yeah, and we saw some bands. We saw Django Django. Which we really enjoyed. They were good live. You thought so, didn't you?
Yeah, they were much better than I thought they were on CD.
Yes. So on CD.
On CD.
There were some people there that we thought might not have just had a bit too much to drink. Alcohol might not have been the only contributing factor to their good time.
I would guess not.
Because I've never seen someone dance next to me so emphatically.
Was just simply inebriated.
I mean, I'll stress that, was gyrating around me. And he had a beard and he had like this kind of like big parka and he smelled quite poorly. So it wasn't the most.
I remember him actually. Yeah.
And he just got the feeling his enthusiasm wasn't quite just drink related.
No.
But
I agree.
The less we say about it, the better.
Gonna have a good time then.
Sure, you know, your own vice.
Fair enough. Django Django were very good. I wasn't so impressed by the errors.
They were poor.
It was more that they didn't sing.
No, they didn't sing. They didn't like vocals. And their songs rambled.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but like I really like a vocal line in a pop song.
Yeah, I think I can see that.
It's preferable.
I think in a genre like that, vocals are probably.
Yeah, it wasn't as if their genre was like particularly progressive or anything, and they were like showing off musically. It was just kind of four chords.
But the guy was sort of pretending to sing because he had his mouth open, and it was kind of like there was a low sort of hum.
Yeah.
Like a fridge kind of thing.
It was as if it was contributing to the music when really it wasn't.
No.
You know, he was trying to be a fourth instrument rather than a vocal melody line.
Yeah.
Which I don't know about you, but I wasn't too.
No, I wasn't hugely keen on that either. But and you saw Katie Tunstall, didn't you? She was on the show last week.
I wasn't. Katie, I've got to have some words with you.
You know she's listening.
She needs to come back and I need to have some words with her because she opened by saying, "I'm not going to play any song that you know."
That's a shame.
And I mean, when you're an artist with two clearly bigger hits than all the rest.
Did the crowd sort of disperse after that? Because I think I would have lost it straight away.
They were all fine about it.
Oh, I don't know if I would have been.
I wasn't.
If I knew that Black Horse in the Territory wasn't getting played, I don't know what I'd do.
No, I wasn't fine about it at all. And I mean, me and my friend Paddy, who was on the radio show earlier.
Thematic Static 1-3.
Exactly. We even started chanting.
Yeah.
You know, we started shouting the names of songs we wanted.
Sure.
But
to no avail.
Absolutely none of it.
That's a shame, Katie.
Which I wasn't very pleased about. I mean, Katie, if you're going to come and be the headliner. Actually, she wasn't the headliner, was she?
Well, she was. Yeah, no, Queen Creosote was.
Yeah. It was very, very airy.
Yeah?
I don't know. I wasn't allowed to watch it all.
This is St. Andrew's Radio.
So, we've got a review now.
Yeah.
I was going to come up with another one-liner, but I think I'll make them wait.
Yeah,
I think
we've got 2 hours, you know.
Yeah, we do have a long time.
Tease it out.
And we have some real. I think. I don't know which one to end with because mine are excellent. I know we can sing yours out first.
Yeah, but just get mine out over and done with early.
Sure.
You know.
Okay.
Keep them listening, basically.
Yeah, and then the quality comes at the end. How did this happen? Anyway, so we've got a review now. You're going to review the new Jason Mraz album. Now, he's the guy who has a hat on for a lot of the time, and he did I'm Yours.
Oh, his image has changed, you know.
Oh, really? Has he taken his hat off?
His hair's growing really long.
Oh, Jason. Come on, keep it clean.
Apparently, he's unrecognisable, according to one critic.
What about the hat?
According to one critic. But to me, he just kind of looks the same with longer hair.
But, I mean, is the hat? What's...
No, there's no hat kicking about.
Oh, Jason, come on, that was your thing.
I know, exactly. He still kind of carries on his thing musically, but in a worse way.
Oh, right, okay. So you didn't love the album?
Well, no, you were there. You heard some of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't taken with it either.
My God. I mean, it's like riding on the success of his previous album, which was We Sing, We Dance, We Steal Things.
That wasn't terrible.
Which I liked.
That was quite good. It was quite a good tune.
It had I'm Yours, it had Dynamo Volition.
That was good,
that
Dynamo
was a
Volition.
Very good
song, that was a great
tune. We should have put that on, actually, to play instead of his single.
Yeah, so people could keep the faith in Jason.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is twee at its most twee.
Right.
Isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. It was unbelievable.
Like,
I mean,
the lyrics, it's basically an album based around love. And
sure.
Different ways to describe it, and basically he's a really big fan. The more cynical among us, which I know me and Tom are definitely a part of.
Sure.
Upon listening to the first two tracks, you know, we probably would have turned off. I mean, it's very pleasant to the point of being too pleasant.
It's suckering to an unbearable level.
It's outrageous. I mean, you get to about track six, and there comes on a song where he invites the audience to sing along. And basically, it's just a group of him and a group of people. Could be, they sound like children, kind of children's choir kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
sure.
La 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 la.
Yeah,
la,
that is terrible.
And then he goes, "All sing out, la 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 la." It's like, my God, Jason,
grow a pair.
You know
what I mean?
I mean, what's the what's he called? Oh, what's the artist who's quite similar to him? He's from like Hawaii.
What's wrong with
he's quite famous.
Jack Johnson?
Jack Johnson, that's the one.
Oh, he's, Jack Johnson's way better than
that's
Jake
what
Mraz.
I'm saying. I'm saying Jack Johnson manages to do the kind of twee thing, but in a much like...
He nails it
in
a lot of the time.
Much more sincere way.
He nails it. Yeah,
he nails
he's very
it,
good, yeah.
You know? Why can't he just do it like that? So basically, I wouldn't recommend listening to
Don't
the album.
Listen to Jason Mraz.
Unless you're a very, very, very happy person.
If you're an incredibly happy person, if
and
you're
that's the sort of thing you like.
Not a drop of cynicism in you. Give Jason's album a go. Otherwise, I think you might throw up a little bit.
Kind of, yeah, exactly. It sounds like it's designed for like as children's lullabies.
Yes, it does.
It's that. You know,
I'd like him
fake.
To take it in
it
a more.
Sounds very fake.
Yes,
to me.
It does. I mean, it's really like the la la la. It's very early Beatles, but I mean, obviously not comparable because the Beatles are great. But
I know. Yeah, well, yeah.
Let's not talk about this. He doesn't think the Beatles are amazing. Just play this.
We're
song.
Not getting into this.
This is The Bait Shop with Tom and Josh on St. Andrews Radio.
Okay, back online. The buzzes have been going wild.
Oh, yeah, we've got some new additions, which is great to see. We've got Naughty Over 40.
Okay.
And Shola.
Right.
The
good.
Esteemed Newcastle
The Newcastle
striker,
player. Yes.
Who has brought up the valid point, very valid point.
Okay.
As to why horses don't participate in water polo.
Now, you say this is a valid point.
Yeah,
but I can see a very, very clear flaw in why horses don't play water polo.
Yeah, which is?
Well, because it wouldn't work.
Why?
Well, because you don't ride horses in water polo.
No, but you do in polo.
Yes,
so then
you do it.
When moving it to a water-based sport, why not include the equestrian?
Okay, because the rules are obviously... you know, this is almost an absurd... As Josh has claimed earlier this week, which I thought I'd bring up, and I've saved this. No, I had to bring it up. He claims that the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the 9-hour Lord of the Rings trilogy, could be condensed into 1 2-hour film.
Yeah. I actually initially started with a 1.5-hour film, but then...
You conceded a half hour.
I conceded that maybe it needs some prep at the beginning.
So you think it's a two hours?
I think... Yes, I do.
So...
I think you could put it into...
40 minutes per film.
Yeah, give or take.
Give or take what? What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't have to be per film. I mean, the Two Towers... is it the Two Towers or the Twin...
No, the Two Towers.
Yeah, a lot of that could be cut out. So maybe let's have the second film as more of a 20-minute... Half an hour.
So you're slashing off...
That gives us 5 minutes for each of the other films, which is probably more action-packed. I mean, we'll keep the big battle from the last one, cut the one from the middle.
So you think you cut Helm's Deep out?
Cut Helm's
Deep
out.
Sure, okay.
I don't like all of the going through the caves... Boring.
That's not boring.
Boring.
How is that boring? The massive troll.
No, you see, you keep the troll, but I don't.
But
like
that doesn't work.
No,
you can't just introduce a troll without the going into the mines. Well, they just come across a troll.
Yes, it's not as if any of the rest is any less ridiculous.
No, but it's all. Yeah, but it's constructed so it's
the trees come alive.
Yeah, they're not trees.
That's boring as well. I don't like the trees coming alive.
The bit where they take apart the towers.
Yeah. No, like Saruman's tower.
Yeah, Isengard. God, this is so lame.
Well, anyway, I just think it's a bit long-winded. And by a bit long-winded, I mean really
you mean
long-winded.
7 hours long-winded?
Yes.
I disagree.
I think it could
And
be
I think millions would disagree as well.
I think it could easily be made into a really short, dramatic action piece.
They're all... It's a long, but still dramatic action piece.
Mm, you see.
And you're rewarded for watching it.
How long is the last film, Tom?
Okay, it's quite long. The last film is too long because they take it's about 40 minutes ending.
Just saying, I could have had them all done in the time that the last film wraps up.
No, not true. I won't listen to this. Is treason.
It's not.
It's just so obviously rubbish because, you know, you need the setup. You need to... No, I think sometimes you just do these things to annoy me.
Well, I do completely, but it's
you don't believe in what you're saying, really.
Well,
no,
I take it. Further than I actually believe, but I do believe it's outrageously long-winded.
Okay, it's very long. The whole 9 hours.
All
thing
I'm saying is, if any directors are out there and want me to give it a go, I'd gladly give it a go.
Okay, well, I wouldn't hold your breath.
Live online at standrewsradio.com. St. Andrews Radio.
We've got a favourite section for you now, one of the all-time classics. We've got pet peeves, things that irritate us.
It was a big hit from last year, this.
Sure, we've carried it over because of its popularity.
Yeah.
And longevity. What is annoying you this week, Josh?
Well, I think this might come off quite badly on myself.
Okay. I'd go for it anyway.
Okay. It's just in general, street conversations.
Street conversations irritate you?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, like meeting people in the street and having a conversation with them. Because there's a whole etiquette to it, and you both know there's a whole etiquette to it, but that etiquette stops you having a normal conversation with them. When you would normally just have a normal conversation with them.
Right. Because it's on the street.
Just because it's on the street.
You know, there's always a bit of tension to it, I think.
Yeah, there is, because you both are going somewhere, but you're unlikely to be going somewhere very urgently.
No.
But you're still going somewhere.
You're still on the
one route.
And this
wasn't in your plan. This wasn't...
Stopping and chatting was not...
Stopping and chatting
definitely
wasn't
not
in your plan. And so it hit, like, your panic.
I think you do as well,
you
yeah.
Panic when
I
you
panic
when
what
you
mean.
See them and you're like, how are you?
Yep,
fine. Yeah. How are you? Yeah, I'm good too.
Where are you off? What are you doing?
And then you can tell both of you are thinking, how am I going to exit this conversation without it being awkward?
It's all about an exit strategy.
It is.
I don't know how I don't deal with it very well. I just
I
don't
deal
like
with it terribly. I think I just come across as a bit ignorant.
Just a bit rude.
A bit rude.
A bit
yeah.
rude. Really. Well, I'm all about the, you know, what you've been doing. Oh, what are you up to tonight? You going out? Maybe you.
Yeah, it's the standard set of questions.
I don't like telling people, because the question, especially in university, is, are you out tonight?
Yeah.
Right? And then that's a standard. I like to just, I'm always like, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to be like, nope.
Yeah. No.
No, because that stops conversation dead.
It does, yeah.
Like, if you say, oh, yeah, coming out, I mean, that's like, oh, where are you going? Yeah. And but people, then they might text you.
Yeah, you don't
where
want
are you?
That.
You don't want that.
You
sure
I
you
see
don't?
What you mean.
You say, nope. That just stops conversation dead.
Yeah.
It's a one-syllable, no, I'm not doing anything.
And it kind of requires a little bit of an explanation on your behalf.
Yeah, like, oh, no, like, I'm really tired, got an essay to do. Maybe it's not no, so you don't explain why you're not going.
Plus,
it's not yes, so you don't explain where you are going.
It puts the onus on them as well, because you say, maybe, what are you up to?
Maybe what you do.
You know, as in, like, persuade me.
Yeah, sell it to me.
Exactly.
Sell the night to me.
So, yeah, that's my pet peeve, just the awkward street conversation that shouldn't be awkward.
I think it's so awkward with almost everyone. Like, even friends.
No, that's my main problem with it.
Even friends just like... yeah.
Is that you walk away thinking, well, I'm friends with that person, and that
why
was
that awkward?
Why was
yeah.
that awkward?
Yeah, I totally agree.
And
it's
because you're both thinking exactly the same thing, and it's not...
I want to leave.
Yeah, it's like, I want to leave.
I get the same thing in queues. Even good friends, if I'm in the queue for something, queue conversations just never work. Because you're waiting for something... Something is going on. You've always got, like, your mind's eye is always on what's the queue about.
I find
I hate that.
What's worse is that sometimes you find that you actually manage a big section of conversation.
Yeah.
But then that big section of conversation makes apparent the silence that is about to ensue.
Sure.
So then the silence, if it's just silent from the beginning and it's a brief hi, I think that's better, to be honest. Because if you have a conversation and then you stop, There's a period which is much more awkward than the initial silence.
But see, I've been walking with friends, and we've both experienced this, that we do know people who are good at it, though.
Really?
Like, you've seen people in St. Andrews that can do it
yeah,
very well.
But I'm not one of them, so for me, it's a definite pet peeve.
I would have to agree with you. I'm not a big fan either.
Probably says a lot about us.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't even got to mine. It's really minor. I mean, I really haven't gone... This isn't a huge problem for me.
I can't say mine was too...
Well, because that's the thing that happens all the time. Like, especially in St. Andrews, because it's so small.
Yeah.
You will always bump into someone when you go out to get, you know, Tesco's or something. Or the Union. The pet peeve that I've got this week is that I hate watching Christmas episodes of TV when it's not Christmas. Like, when... It really annoys me when you're watching, say... Well, you know, RIP, Friends on E4. But, like, when you're watching... When you used to watch Friends on E4, or Channel 4, and then there was a Christmas episode and it was, like, the middle of spring, and I can't stand it. I can't watch them.
I know what you mean, but I don't have, like...
No, like, it really gets to me.
I think it's worse on... I think Friends does it quite well. I think other ones are worse. Because I like the one where where she buys loads of dead Christmas trees.
Yeah, but that's a Phoebe one. You know, Phoebe,
That's Phoebe doing all right.
Yeah, Phoebe's doing okay
there. Yeah, she does all right.
But it's just, I really can't stand it. And so if I'm watching a series, like, through, on, like, online or something, and there's a Christmas episode, I always skip it.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Even if, like, it's vital to the plot, I'll just find it out.
No, you won't.
If it was, yeah, I would skip it.
You know, what annoys me more than that is Halloween episodes on The Simpsons. I hate
episodes
on The Simpsons.
Because I think it's, like, I think they're really funny. I disagree completely.
I just don't find them funny.
And also, that it's like...
I know it's referencing horror films and stuff, and that's probably why I don't, like...
No, that's not it. Because even if you haven't seen the films, like, you could still... It's still got the same kind of Simpsons-like gags in
it. I don't think it does. I think it properly detracts away from the...
No, they're very funny. What about the one with the shitting, you know?
Yeah, no. I just don't find them
very funny episode.
I don't find them that funny.
I can't believe that. I think they're hilarious.
Yeah, it's like when we were watching South Park. You know, I realised I really enjoy watching South Park, but I never laugh at it.
No, South Park is very consistently hilarious, though. No, it's very consistently funny.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I laugh at Friends and The Simpsons.
Do you laugh on your own?
Yeah, I'm a bit.
I never do it. When I watch a show on my own, a comedy on my own, I never laugh.
You're not a very smiley or laughy person, though.
No, very morose.
Although I know what you mean. Like, comedies are made to be watched in groups.
Yeah, they are, and it's unbelievable. It's like three times better when you're watching it in a group.
Definitely.
Everything is funnier.
Definitely. That's why when you go and see a stand-up comic in a live.
Speaking of which, it's time for the second one-liner of the show. So, what should we go for? Should we go one of mine and one of yours?
I really don't mind. Just merge them, you know? They're all equally top-notch.
Josh, my cream will do whatever I say. It's completely whipped. That's one of mine, as you might have guessed, being very funny. I've got one
that
more.
That is actually one of my favourites.
Yeah?
It was the first one as well, wasn't it?
It was, but this is another one I did. No, actually, I'll leave that one to later.
Okay, is that too good?
Yeah, I'll go for another one of yours. Here we do this. I did the toilet roll one, haven't I?
Yeah.
I've done the toilet roll one. Hang on, there's... Oh. Since my dad has taken up hunting, he's really upped his game.
Yeah. Oh. Pretty weak, but...
It's fine.
But you see, that's why I like one-liner jokes, because, like, even if they're weak, that kind of... gives a groan and a...
I quite like what mechanics wear overall.
Yeah.
That wasn't either of us. Yeah, I won't try and claim that one. I'm going to go for one more. This is, two and four are playing in a football match between five and seven, and two says to four, do you think we stand a chance? And four says the odds are against us. That was one of mine as well, as you may have guessed.
I think that's good. That sounds as though it could have been made up by an actual funny person.
This is St. Andrew's Radio. Get up, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So you're going to give that one a review? That was Alabama Shakes with...
No, it wasn't. It was Breathe Carolina.
That was Breathe... There's so many state names, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem.
I know. I think that track's a bit deceptive.
Okay.
Because it kind of sounds very polished, 303.
It did sound very 303, I was thinking that, yeah.
And I listened to the album, to be honest, hoping for some stuff that was a bit more like that.
Sure.
Because, I mean, that's the song that's popular for a reason.
Yeah.
And I listened to the rest, and it's so odd.
Right.
It's got that 303, electronic, really cheesy sound in the verses.
Yeah.
And then it's screamo for the choruses.
Oh, really?
It's so weird. It really grates, the two styles, I don't think, merge at all. It's as if they're trying to make themselves legitimate just by putting something heavy in for a little bit.
So is it putting synth in a kind of, rocky, metal-y feel as opposed to the kind of synthy pop?
Well, kind of. I mean, the verses are very synth pop.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden they scream.
Okay.
I mean...
Is it very heavy? I mean, we're talking, you know...
Well, it's... Yeah, they're not saying words. They're just,
Okay. Oh, dear.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes... I think that kind of works, maybe, sometimes as an effect, to introduce a bridge or...
Yeah,
you know, as a kind of a gimmick.
Right.
But they seem to genuinely use it to legitimise their pop sound.
Okay.
Because their fans have been very annoyed that they've become... They're now no longer underground.
Okay.
And I mean, come on, that sound is not an underground sound, is it?
No, it's definitely not.
That is made for pop radio.
Yeah, sure, yeah, absolutely it is.
And, so I think it's a bit ridiculous that they're trying to balance that. I think they're very, that song's very good. They should run with it.
Yeah.
You know, and especially listening to the stuff before, which is supposedly more underground. It's just bad.
Yeah.
I think. So I think the album as a whole doesn't work.
Inconsistent, is it?
It's inconsistent. And I think, this is actually their third album. So I don't know. I'm not sure where it's going to go, to be honest.
Right.
I can't see it getting too much better unless they fix their genre to what has become popular, I think.
Okay.
I feel. I'm sure lots of people will disagree with me and say they should stick to what they used to do, but in my opinion, that's the song that's become popular for a reason, because it's much better than the rest.
I was talking to my friend in... whose brother lives in New York and is in an electro pop band, and he says, I used to be in an electro pop band before they were popular, and I'm going to quit now because I don't like where it's going.
I hate that.
Yeah? Do you like where electro pop's going? Is my question this new popular genre?
I think it's fine. I mean, it's just a different genre. It's not as if they're moving.
It seems to be bleeding into everything, though, this
kind
of thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, they're putting...
And is this a poor example of that? This band, if you see what I mean.
No, to be honest, I think... Yeah, I suppose as a whole they're a poor example, but that song, if it had been consistent, I'd have said that's where it works perfectly in the mainstream. I'd have said that is where electric pop should be.
Okay.
But I think as a band, I think it's a terrible example of them trying to balance being a legitimate underground band and yet gaining some popularity.
Okay.
And I think they just need to decide which they want to
get
do.
Back down there, or just you know,
make the better pop
get a
music,
grip.
You know,
okay.
In my opinion.
Well, I think that's fair.
This is St. Andrew's Radio.
One more one-liner to keep people going. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let me just get one of these up. I hate trying to keep the Jenga tower up. I really can't stand it.
God.
Okay, I said to my friend, I'm really annoyed I can't name all the singles by Oasis. My friend said, stop crying your heart out. I said, I'm not that bothered.
Sorry, I'm just talking to someone through the glass.
What? That was a quality jingle as well.
Yeah, I know, I wasn't listening to you
at all. Did you hear?
Yeah.
It was... What was it about?
It was about... Yeah, I wasn't listening to you, man. I'm sorry.
It's a two-man radio show.
Yeah,
who is out in the glass, anyway?
I don't know, but she held up a note against the window.
What did it say?
I'd love to lie here, but really, it just said, can I leave my stuff here for 15 minutes?
That was it?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. If you could do one thing before you die, what would it be? Like, if you could just do an act, something...
That was very abrupt.
Yeah, I know, I've just been thinking about it. Like, what would you do? If you just... And then you would be dead.
What, as in... You did it, and then that was the end?
So, yeah, the last, you know, it's like God is saying, sorry, I'm going to kill you, but you can do a thing before you die.
Oh, okay.
What would it be?
God.
So, you know, for example, like, you know, spending some intimate time with a female celebrity of your choice, maybe.
Right.
Or seeing something, or, you know, doing like, skiing somewhere nice.
Skiing somewhere, that would be tame.
No, if you're having a really good ski.
I'd quite like to go somewhere warm and work on my tan.
Well, you wouldn't really need to.
No, I know, that was the point.
Okay.
Well, what would you do? Do you have anything in mind when you brought this up?
Yes, I did. No, I didn't, no. But I'd like
All of mine seem that you come to... Everything that comes to mind seems quite self-indulgent.
Yeah, but you would, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know, would you?
Yes, I think I would, because it...
Would some people not be like, oh, cure cancer?
Oh, yeah, I suppose you'd probably want to do that, wouldn't you?
That isn't really coming to my mind, to be honest.
Or solve the third world crisis.
Exactly.
How is that going to work? Do you think it's...
No, it's not going to happen. The third world will just move.
What?
You know what I mean? There's always going to be poverty. It'll just...
Move around.
It'll just change where it is.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you were just making that.
Yeah, I know. I realised when I said it that sounds ridiculous, but that isn't what I meant.
Okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, definitely a good thing.
Well, maybe I'd cure some diseases, but I think I wouldn't mind meeting Edith Bowman.
Oh, like, come on.
No, because, like, she's the ultimate for me. She's, like, she's the woman. Like, she's... I don't know.
Because, to be honest, it's not that unlikely that you're going to meet her.
Don't even say that. Don't try and get me that.
She's not that big a celebrity.
She's not that big a celebrity. The Edith Bowman.
The Edith Bowman.
The Edith Bowman is not a massive... She is huge.
Mm.
She is on Radio 1.
Is she anymore? Is she still doing that?
I don't know. But she's good looking. She's got a great accent. She's got a good smile. I don't know how you could say that Edith Bowman isn't huge in every single way. Not fat, though. God, God, no, she keeps a trim figure.
Yeah, we'll discuss this more afterwards. I'll get thinking of something.
Well, no, we won't do it. Just so people don't, you know, we won't talk about Edith anymore.
Okay, that's fine.
Gets me upset.
This is The Bait Shop with Tom and Josh on St. Andrews Radio.
We've got a review coming up.
Yeah, Calvin the Wiz came out last week.
You went to see it last night, didn't you?
I did, with my good friend Sophie. So this is the new film, directed by Drew Goddard and written by Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard. Joss Whedon, people will know from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer series, the very popular show, and, so Joss Whedon is very well-versed with the horror genre. He knows the conventions in and out, and that rings true with this fantastic film.
Yep.
Am I slowing it down? I realise I'm getting very enthusiastic, because I think this is a brilliant film.
Yeah.
That is entertaining on many, many levels. So essentially, he does Buffy, so he knows the horror genre well. He's clearly playing with the convention of this film. So when you see the title Cabin in the Woods, you're clearly going to think, this is that's the very stereotypical horror location. This is going to be a simple kind of like kids go into a cabin, things don't go well, attacked by zombies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's completely different. It completely plays on those conventions. It's kind of an ironic take on the horror genre. So it starts with, stereotypically, you think four kids, they're getting ready for a weekend in the woods. You think, this will be a standard stalk and slash. You kind of like attacked by monsters. Yeah. The final girl lives, et cetera, et cetera. And then it cuts to two men in a government building discussing a project they have to do over the weekend, and which means they have to...
Are you going
to
ruin the plot here, just out of interest?
No, because the thing is about Cabin in the Woods, it's so difficult to describe.
Without ruining
because
the
plot. You can't really give away anything, because it's completely unique. You'll never see a film like it. It completely messes with your idea of with your take on the horror genre. So he cuts these two men in a government building discussing a project, and eventually the two worlds of these men in a government building doing something shady and the cabin in the woods coincide, and it's totally brilliant. And it's a comedy horror in the same vein that Scream was a comedy horror, in that it's kind of like, it is a scary film, but very witty, and a very...
Scream was, like, very comedy, though. It was more comedy than it was horror.
No!
Wait, am I thinking of the right...
You're thinking of Scary Movie.
Yes.
I think.
Yes, I am.
Yes,
yes,
you are.
I am.
Which was in no way...
I see what you mean with Scream.
Yeah. And so, Cabin in the Woods is kind of like that, and it's a horror film, but it's got some ironic wit, it's got something to say about the horror genre, something to say the nature of why we watch horror films.
Mm-hmm.
It's allegorical, it's a bit meta... So it's very interesting, and as a horror film fan, it's packed with references to other films. So
what if
you're not
a horror film fan?
You'll still absolutely love it. When the two worlds of the government building and the cabin do coincide, you think it could go two ways. It could be a thoughtful ending with a kind of big plot twist, or a complete out and out like gore fest to sate the horror film fans. And they do both extremely well. The two worlds coincide in such a brilliant way. I realise I'm being completely ambiguous, because you can't explain anything to do with this film.
It's best you don't.
I don't want to say anything, because it's a film you have to find out for yourself. But the performances are great.
Has it done well?
Yeah, it's done fantastically well. All the dialogue is witty and funny. The scary sets, like pieces, are scary. The characters are human. You completely believe in them, despite them kind of conforming to the sort of horror film stereotypes, which they need to do. I loved it. I thought it was completely brilliant, and even if you're not a horror film fan, it's so entertaining, and it's such like a roller coaster ride of a film.
It sounds like it's your favourite one so far that you've reviewed.
I think this is the best film that I've reviewed on this show.
This show, like, for 2 years?
Possibly, yeah.
Is that partly because you just love horror films?
No, I think it's totally entertaining, clever,
so
it's got everything.
It's as close to a 5-star as you can get?
I think I would give this 5 stars.
Wow.
This is a 5-star review. I loved it.
Well, there you go, guys.
This is St. Andrew's Radio.
That was an abrupt change.
It was fine, though, because I really hate Woo Life.
Yeah, you're not a fan, are you?
It's just, like, that is noise, I'm sorry.
I don't think it is.
Oh,
God. I think I quite liked it.
Oh, no.
No?
Not my thing at all.
They recently made an announcement, I think, that someone told me that they're never going to tour again or do another gig.
Woo really?
Life. Yeah, heard about that.
But, like, you'd think they'd be, like, big to do that. Surely that's the sort of, like... ending your career.
I thought that was the kind of announcement that a big band would make, as opposed to a band who have released
it's
one
kind of
album.
Make a statement kind of thing.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
Well, really, you can't make a statement when A, you're rubbish.
Okay.
And and you're not that well known.
Sure, I know what you mean.
Plus, gigging's the best part of music. I mean, it's definitely where music's going, isn't it?
Yeah, live. Well, it has to, really,
exactly,
doesn't it? That's where the money's...
They're not making any money anymore.
Yeah, that's where the money is, isn't it? Gigs.
Yeah. Plus, if you're like, on the theme of what we were talking about before, with the whole, what would you do?
Yeah.
Like, that would be something that I would consider being the last thing I did, like play to Wembley or something like that.
Imagine playing Wembley.
Yeah,
that'd be
Madison
amazing.
Square Garden.
Yeah, that would
like,
be a big
something
one.
Something like that.
Yeah, that would be pretty unbelievable.
Very self-indulgent, but...
No, but, you'd be entertaining people as well.
True.
Do you know what
hopefully.
I mean? Well, yeah. If you're filling Madison Square Garden / Wembley,
yeah.
You know, you've got some fun. Although, if it's the last thing you do before you die, that wish is granted, people would be there anyway, because it's part of the scenario, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, true, actually.
So you would never know. You can do that now, though.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, you'd want to build up your songs.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, I'm saying, like, the last thing, kind of.
Last thing, yeah. Okay, I can understand that.
Exactly. I mean, have you seen the beginning of the Justin Bieber movie? I haven't, but
no,
I've been told.
Sure. What?
I mean, someone told me intricate details about it, including the opening dialogue.
Okay.
And,
You were told this is from someone... You haven't seen the film, though?
No.
It's not on your MacBook Pro or anything?
No, I don't really like that many films, so, like, I don't have to.
So, sure.
It definitely wouldn't make the top list on my Mac. And,
okay.
Anyway, it starts by saying you haven't made it until you film Madison Square Gardens.
Right.
You know, so... That's an
did he?
He did, yeah.
Okay,
I
and...
think.
You think?
Maybe.
But you haven't... Just you know, to be totally honest to our listeners, you haven't seen the Justin Bieber Never Seen It, Never film?
No.
And really enjoyed it?
No.
No. Okay. So...
He's a very talented young man, though.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
He's a very talented young man.
I can't believe you like the Justin Bieber movie.
I don't!
Yes, you do! You've seen it more than once.
No, I've seen the beginning more than once. That wasn't my choice.
Whose choice was it? You.
Well, kind of. Other people wanted to watch it.
But you were one of them.
No, I'd seen it, and I was like, yeah, it's fine.
That's not true, that's not
also,
what happened.
People underestimate him, and you must admit this. Fair enough, I think his music's rubbish, right? I do.
Really?
Most of it. But I think him as a person, is actually quite talented. He's more talented than his record label makes out.
Okay. Well, I admit, you see the footage of him playing drums, that's quite impressive.
Yeah, just
when
like
his, youth.
His general musical, like, now...
Know-how.
Is actually all right.
Okay.
It's a lot better than most pop stars, and so I think he takes too much jip.
But he does produce music akin to one of those pop stars, and you think if he had that musical know-how, maybe he'd do something with it?
I think he will.
You think he's got time?
I do think he will.
Do you think maybe he'll... And I know I hate to compare them, but, like, the Beatles started off with a very simple poppy rock... Not black, but yeah, pop.
Well, I don't know, but I think.
Do you think Justin is going to move into something like they did?
Well,
they're going
to
move into
like
a
MJ as well, hasn't he?
Yeah,
but like I don't.
Is he going to evolve into something a little bit more?
I really do think he's going to get better, and I think people aren't giving him much chance, and I think if they don't give him chance, then he won't.
I don't like him now. I think he
no,
sucks
no. I agree.
Now.
I think he sucks now, but I think his musical ability shouldn't be.
Speaking of people of musical ability, here's a band who have loads.
Live online at StAndrewsRadio.com. St Andrews Radio.
You know what also is a bit of a pet peeve of mine?
Yeah.
When, I mean, it's on Facebook and there's like a picture of a wounded war veteran or an ill child. And someone says, like if you respect them or like if you think that they should get better or something like that. Well,
this isn't putting you in a good light.
No, I don't know. No.
You know what I really hate? Charity.
But it's like when you think, it's just this whole like self-serving, make yourself feel better by liking a photo kind of thing. It's like, of course you respect them. There's no like...
It's not going to get anything.
Not going to get anything done. It's just kind of like to try and make yourself feel better, try and look like this charitable, you know, really nice guy.
Yeah.
Like...
Did you see the joke one?
Going
around? It had, like, Bulbasaur
in
a poker centre, and it was like, because he's been mistreated by his owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
But you don't dislike them, because I just think they're...
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I mean, it gets a bit much.
It's like it, obviously.
Because it's not as if it's, like, current issues they're doing it on. It's just... It's just something that's so obviously pandering to try and
gain
Facebook attention.
Yeah, it is. It's just it's ridiculous. Like if you respect a war veteran. Obviously, people respect war veterans that have been wounded.
Yeah.
There's no need to say on Facebook. It's just, really gets to me.
I can imagine. Yeah, apparently it does.
Yeah, not a fan of that.
I can see what you mean. Have you watched, what's it? Oh, the World Series of Dating on BBC Three.
Oh, and you see, now that is the lowest... Barrel, like that's really scraping the bottom of the barrel of television. I think
but
it might
see,
be.
I think it works.
Oh, yeah, you do quite like it, don't you?
Well, it's not that I. Well, yeah, I think maybe I do. I mean, whilst I'm watching it, I'm thinking this is terrible. But I don't turn it off. You know, it's mesmerisingly bad.
For any of the listeners that don't know, World Series of Dating is a television program on Channel 3 hosted by two American hosts.
Yeah.
Guys. and it's kind of like set up so it's almost like a game show where you guys go on dates with these women at the tables, and if they mess up, the women just
presses a buzzer
and the guys are scored off. And it's just depresses me.
It's so like cringe. It's cringe factor, isn't it?
It's cringe. It's just dark and inappropriate. It's just like, it's not funny.
Very watchable, though. Very watchable.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of. No, I think it definitely is.
I don't know. I think it might be like really like, oh,
I think
telly.
It's a bit of a guilty pleasure.
Really?
Maybe.
I don't know. You know, I think it could be. I like that segue into the guilty pleasure section.
Yeah, that's
good.
Well, yeah.
But like, come on.
I know what you mean. I mean, it's too far.
I mean, it's awful television.
I mean,
like, every guy is Scottish for some reason.
Yeah, that's really odd.
Everyone
is
Scottish. And it's just, these poor guys just trying to talk to women who, and they're clearly a bit socially awkward, these guys.
Oh,
and
I know. Oh.
They're clearly not picked from, you know, I mean, you're on the World Series of Dating, so you haven't done, you know, great.
I know, yeah. One of their opening statements was, I like ham. You know, I mean,
these guys don't get out of the help much. They're dragged onto telly, so their social awkwardness and inability is revealed to the world.
But I mean, this is why you can see it's watchable.
And these girls aren't very nice. They're not very nice to them.
No,
they don't
nice.
Let them down gently. They just press this muscle buzzer, like, you know, and then they're escorted off by this very like heavy set gentleman who isn't very sympathetic to them either.
No,
I don't know.
I think we should wrap it up now.
Yeah, okay. Well,
we'll wrap it up, play a couple of songs. We've got a classic to end it on, as usual.
Yeah, standard us.
Hopefully we'll have this out as a podcast for you.
Yeah, so you can listen to it again.
Sunday evening. You might be listening on Sunday evening.
Yeah,
but for now, this is goodbye from us.
See you later. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
This is The Bait Shop with Tom and Josh on St. Andrews Radio.